Thank you for downloading the Broadmead Community Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy it.
I wonder how many of you here hate to be ignored. No, just a few of you. The rest of you are just much more holy or not honest. I don't know about you, but there's nothing worse than when you feel like you've called your kids for dinner for the fifth time and they're still ignoring you. A few nods of heads there. Maybe they've got headphones on, or maybe they're just don't care. I don't know. But anyway, it's nothing more annoying than being put on call waiting, is there? You know, and that music starts up and then every now and again, break, your call is important to us, and you think, trying to grab a waiter's attention in a busy restaurant. Or do you remember in bygone days when you used to stand at a bar with a £10 note in your hand, waving it to get the attention of the person behind the bar? I think those days are gone now, aren't we? We've all got apps that we sit down and we can order everything from. But I think if we're really honest, we all hate being ignored. And unanswered prayers feel like God is ignoring us, and we hate it. Or at the very least, we struggle with it. You see, prayer is the most wonderful thing. We have this invitation to come before God and bring our requests, bring our adoration, bring our petitions, bring our intercessions, as we've been learning about over the last 3 weeks. Prayer is the most wonderful thing. But also, let's be honest, prayer can also be the most painful. Prayer doesn't always work the way we need it to or the way we want it to. And if you want to read more on this subject, I can recommend a brilliant book called God on Mute by Pete Gregg. Highly recommend that. A couple of weeks ago, I visited the Pioneer Centre over near Kidderminster. It's owned and run by Northampton Association of Youth Clubs, and I went over there to visit, and I'd said to them previously, I haven't been here for about 20 years. And it has massively changed. I mean, they've got these huts that are still there that we slept in that were built before the Second World War. But they've done a massive amount to it, and it's wonderful now, and what they're doing over there. And I came home and I talked to Karen about it. And she said, do you remember when we stayed in those huts? We were on a young adult, long time ago, young adult weekend away. And it was right in the middle of our 4 years of infertility. And while we just had some treatment, and while we were there, Karen took a pregnancy test. And you can imagine that probably in our thoughts were, wouldn't it be great? We're with all the people from the church, young adults. There's so many of us. If we could announce that our prayers have been answered and Karen's pregnant, God, this is going to be amazing. And Karen took a pregnancy test and it was negative again, and the treatment had failed again, and we were back where we started. You see, in those moments of absolute heartache and absolute despair, we cried out, God, where are you? See, prayer can change the world. I knew that. I knew that prayer could change the world. But could it put a baby in my wife's womb? And this, for us at that moment, was the pain of unanswered prayer. 4 years of pain and disappointment. And you may be sitting there thinking, do you know what? It might not be the same prayer, but I've had prayer, unanswered prayers for 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, etc., etc. Now, there are those amongst Christians, let's call them the Victorious Christian Life Brigade, who think that even Adam, by talking about unanswered prayers this morning, all that you will do, Adam, is you will decrease people's faith. But let me just tell you, if you're even thinking that this morning, let me tell you, the Bible is so much more honest about unanswered prayers than our church is often today. Over a half of the Psalms are bitter laments, which contain unanswered prayers. So many of the Psalms are more blues than happy clappy. And Israel literally means to struggle, to wrestle with God. And Jesus said, didn't he, in John 16, verse 33, in this world you will have troubles. Now I've searched, I cannot find a bumper sticker promoting that verse at all. And there appears to be not many gift cards that you give to someone and say, in this world you will have troubles. Don't sell very much, do they? But that's what Jesus said. And even Jesus himself has an unanswered prayer. When he first prayed the prayer over 2,000 years ago, he prayed that we would be one. And as far as I can see across the world, the church is as yet not one. Maybe better than it was 30 or 40 years ago, but it's not yet one. And so if you are sitting there this morning with unanswered prayers, you're in good company because you have Jesus with you there. So, can we create here a culture of honesty about all of this? Honesty around the subject of unanswered prayers, which is different from unbelief. And let me tell you why. If you didn't believe in God, when your prayers don't get answered, well, it's because God's not true. But when we ask God and he doesn't answer, it's because we believe that we struggle with it. So it's because we trust God. And so please don't think that when you're thinking about unanswered prayers, that it is the fact that we don't believe enough. You see, it is a form of faith to wrestle with these things. Sorry, can I have it a bit lower? I'm really echoey here on the stage. Sorry. It is a form of faith to wrestle with these things. It's not unbelief. However, it is so hard to understand. But we know that we have a God who has chosen to suffer for us. And without the cross, none of this makes sense. You see, at the crossroads of human existence is a God who himself suffered. And it reminds us that he is not uncaring and he is not unsympathetic to our situation. He knows what it is to suffer. And later on, we're going to give thanks and remember that in communion. For the truth is that we can bear this because Jesus has endured so much more already. This week, I had the privilege of visiting Gillian Bailey with her husband, Rob. And Rob rang me this week, and something happened which was deeply, spiritually profound. And I thought, I'd love to tell that story this Sunday. But it was so personal that I decided not to. And then on Friday, Rob rang me and said, I believe you should tell the story of what happened on Sunday. So this is spoken with his permission. Because it's a beautiful picture of how God gets into unanswered prayers. So many of you may not have met Gillian before, but Gillian, for a number of years, has suffered with dementia. And recently, she had to move into a nursing home, which was incredibly difficult for Rob, because they've been married for just over 30 years and being separated. But her care needs were such that that was the right thing to do. And Rob and I went to take communion to Gillian this week. And At times she can be very distressed because she's not with Rob and because she, I believe, is aware of, to some degree, what's going on for her. And as we sat and spoke and as we shared communion, she was so, so outwardly and inwardly distressed. It was so hard to watch. And Rob is absolutely brilliant. He just loves his wife so much and comforts her. And one of the things he passed to her was a little holding cross. And that brings some comfort to Gillian. And at that moment, she began to cry and tears rolled down her cheek as everything that she was experiencing became almost too much for her. But then we had this most incredible moment where Jesus just broke into the room. Gillian, without prompt, took the cross and held the cross over her tears and wiped away the tears with the cross of Jesus. It was such an incredible moment, and I was privileged to see that, and it just spoke of what I'm wanting to say today. Because I guess probably we all have unanswered prayers. We all have difficulties and pains. But if you take nothing else from this, take from this that God is not unsympathetic. And none of this makes sense without the cross. But with the cross, because Jesus has bore all that he has bore, it makes sense for us today that he would wipe away every tear. Let's, for a moment, go back a day from Jesus' death into a garden venue just after dark. And would you turn with me to Mark 14, verse 32. Mark 14, verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And I just want to very briefly notice three things that are going on there. First of all, Jesus is vulnerable. He's overwhelmed. It says there, doesn't he, that he's overwhelmed with the sorrow, even to the point of death. What does that, maybe you've experienced that, but what does that look like? He was overwhelmed. But at that moment, he allowed his closest friends to see that. He drew them into his grief and pain. He doesn't hide it. And so often we can be guilty of that, can't we? We don't allow others into our loss and into our grief and into our pain. Maybe it's because we might fear that they might judge us, or they might think that we're less than as a Christian. Or maybe it's because being vulnerable takes courage and takes risk. But can I encourage you, first of all, Jesus is vulnerable. Don't hide, but draw others that you trust in and be vulnerable with them. I'm doing the current Kintsugi Hope course, and last week we were looking at shame. And shame is the difference between guilt. Guilt says you've done something bad. Shame says I am bad. But one of the great remedies for shame is vulnerability, talking with people about it. And sometimes unanswered prayer can lead to shame. But take a lesson from Jesus here and be vulnerable and share with others. So firstly, Jesus is vulnerable. Secondly, he pursues prayer. His Father's presence is what is needed. Psalm 94 reads like this. Who stood up for me against the wicked? Who took my side against the evil workers? If God had not been there for me, I never would have made it. The minute I said, I'm slipping, I'm falling, your love, God, took hold and held me fast. When I was upset and beside myself, you calmed me down and cheered me up. So pursue prayer, pursue God. And then finally, Jesus says, Abba, Father. And we know those words are intimate. At that moment of despair, that moment of being overwhelmed, even to nearly to the point of death, he holds on to God's love. Notice that Jesus doesn't question God's love. He doesn't say, if you really love me, God, you wouldn't make me go through this. You see, God's love isn't up for debate for Jesus. He recognizes God's love. He recognizes his power also. Because he says, if you wish, you could take this away from me. Jesus says, take this cup from me. I don't want to die. I don't want to be on thousands of stained glass windows in churches or around the necks of people for hundreds of years. At this moment, Jesus is praying a little bit unbiblical. He's going off piste. He's going off message. He's going rogue. But he's being radically honest with God. And if it's okay for Jesus to be radically honest with God, it's okay for us. It's okay for us to be honest with God and honest with our closest friends. It's okay to say, this hurts, it sucks, it's rubbish. I did have another word there, but Word said, do you really want to use this word? I've had enough. I'm struggling. I'm screwed. This is the position that Jesus was in. And I guess, like us, Jesus might have been thinking a loving, caring God would stop this suffering. Have you ever asked that question yourself? In your own unanswered prayers, have you ever said, if God is love, why is he not changing these circumstances? And if you've never asked that yourself, I can guarantee that you've been asked it by people who are not Christians. Or maybe by people that are. Why does a God of love allow suffering? It's the one question we hate to be asked, isn't it? But I just want to give you three helpful ideas about that might expand your understanding on this. War, world, and will. So first of all, world. You see, the thing is, God has made the world to work. Yeah, I might pray that it doesn't rain on the day I'm going to watch the cricket, but equally, one of you might be praying that your flowers get watered and that it does rain, or that your crops grow, or that something else happens. You see, the laws of nature that make the world work work for the vast majority of people for the majority of time. Let's turn to C.S. Lewis for some wisdom on this. He wrote that God can and does on occasions modify the behavior of matter and particles. What we call miracles is part of the Christian faith. But the very concept of a common and therefore stable world demands that these occasions should be extremely rare. See, if I drop this large bit of wood, nearly, on my toes, if it doesn't stop and float about an inch above my toe, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love me. You see, some things are just the way the world works. Secondly, there's war. We're in a spiritual battle. Our lives are a spiritual battle. And we have a vicious enemy. And Jesus' followers will be targeted. Sometimes prayers aren't answered because the enemy is active and successful in imposing the will of God. And it hurts like hell. And we're going to look at this much later on next month in another session. And I hope that will give you more answers in detail. But sometimes it's not the law of nature opposing prayer, and sometimes it's not Satan opposing prayer. God sometimes opposes our prayers because God knows best. When I look back, I'm glad that God didn't answer all my prayers because they were not always right and in line with his will. If God had answered all my prayers as a child, I would now be a cowboy married to Cameron Diaz. And she doesn't even hold a candle to Karen, of course. And other times, with other prayers, God says no, but we just don't understand. We had a friend of ours in her 30s who had breast cancer, and then that was treated, and we thought that she was going to be okay, but a few years later she had secondary cancer. And the diagnosis was not good. And we prayed and we prayed. And the Church of Northampton prayed and prayed. And the global church prayed and prayed. And this person even went over to America where there were healing meetings going on, where people were being healed from amazing things. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and she died. And that's really hard. But on those occasions, as difficult as it might be, we're invited to trust even if we don't understand. And when we do that, and when we're in those moments, when God feels like a million miles away and our prayers seem to be going nowhere, I want you to remember this. God's silence is not his absence. Please don't get those two confused. Hebrews 13 verse 5, he says he promised that he will never leave us. We all have seasons in our lives when we can't see God or hear God the way we want to or the way we used to. But it's not that he has abandoned us, but that he's trying to mature us into something new. He is present, but he's often using that, allowing us to grow into maturity. If you've ever taught a child to ride a bike, sometimes you have to let go of the bike and allow them to do it. You're present by their side, running alongside them. You might be speaking at times, but other times you might not be speaking because you're too out of breath running alongside them. You have to allow them to develop the skills to ride a bike. You start off by holding the back of the bike, but eventually you let them go. Sometimes God is wanting to mature us in those moments. Just for a second, think about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego from Daniel 3. Not an insurance company or estate agents, but three gentlemen who were instructed by King Nebuchadnezzar to bow down and worship the idols. And they said they wouldn't do it. And the first thing they say is, if you throw us in the fiery furnace, we will trust God that he will save us. So the first thing they demonstrate is faith. I trust God. He can do this. But then almost immediately after that, they say, and even if he doesn't, we're still going to follow and trust him. So first of all, you see from those three faith, and then you see faithfulness. So let us all be a people who fill up our faith. Make sure you are faithful, full of faith. I mean, think for a moment of an older Christian person you admire. You see their trust and faith. They're such an example to you. And if you think of someone now You're probably thinking it's never because their life has been made easy. It's normally been a hard life, but it's been a life in which they've trusted it all to God. You see, if your prayers are always answered, faith would be the logical thing. But when it doesn't seem sensible, and when our prayers don't work, that is faithfulness. And that's why Paul wrote this in Romans 5. We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. You see, when we're in trouble, when we've got problems, when we've got unanswered prayers, so often we want to be airlifted by God out of our problems. But more often than not, God wants to parachute into our troubles. He wants to join us. Often come remarkably close at the toughest of times if we allow him. And so I want to leave you with four final thoughts. I want to encourage you to ask where, not why. In your situations, in your circumstances, in your unanswered prayers, ask God, where are you? And he will answer as he comes with his presence. Praying, not my will, but your will be done, is one of the hardest prayers. It requires a deep level of trust. As I've said already, his silence is not his absence. Even when we don't understand, we can still trust. And finally, my hope is that this talk has given you some answers in your head. But more than that, his presence in your heart. Let's pray. Abba Father, everything is possible for you, God. I thank you so much that you love me so deeply, especially when I'm hurting, and that you have the power to answer our prayers. God, there are so many times I want to pray, take this cup from me. I don't want to suffer. But God, not my will, but your will. I trust you, God, even when I don't understand. Give me faith, and God, teach me to be faithful. Amen.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not check us out on all social media platforms or visit broadmead.org.uk. Thank you.